A phrase came into being at some point in time that I know I've heard, and as I was trying to see if it was still in action and Googled some this past week, found that it still is around, it's still a phrase used, but it's birthed this theology and way of thinking within us that I find to be contrary to Jesus and the gospel, and really to how Jesus calls us to live as his disciples. And the phrase is, give until it hurts. It's brought with this negative connotation about what giving is. It makes it seem as though it's some harmful action, like it's not going to be any fun, and that we really wouldn't want to do it or participate in it. It is phrases and that kind of thinking that make giving seem more like an obligation, and it keeps us focused really on limited resources. An alternative way of looking at it, though, has been guiding us these past few weeks and is the title of our sermon series that we've been working through, Give Until It Heals. It changes the perspective of how and why to give. It changes from this negative subject to talk about to something that we want to take part in because it's life-giving. We give to bring healing, to offer to ourselves, to one another, to the world. Healing. So instead of being an obligation, it then becomes an opportunity. An opportunity to bind up the brokenhearted, to let the blind see and the lame to walk and to set the prisoners free. It gives us as the church this opportunity to come together. To come together to be the body of Christ. This is the understanding the people of the Macedonian churches had that Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. It says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Paul is encouraging the church in Corinth by sharing with them what he had experienced in his relationship with the Macedonian church, which would have been the churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. He found them to be generous churches, not because of their wealth, but their generosity that came out of poverty and came during a time where the church, the people that were following Christ and spreading his word and his good news, the church was experiencing persecution, not only personally, but also those that were in business. It was greatly affecting their business. Paul had not asked from them, but he found within them this desire to give. The passage went as far as to say they pleaded with Paul to give. Pleaded. I enjoy giving. I am glad to participate in giving, but I have to admit, I don't know that I come in pleading to be able to have the opportunity to give. But this is the way they lived in their relationship. They pleaded to give. They didn't find giving to be this obligation or something that they did reluctantly, but something they found to be a privilege. And as we read in the Philippian passage last week, they gave and they had this desire to give because they wanted to be partners with Paul. in the gospel, partners in spreading the gospel to people and to places that had never heard the good news of Jesus, had never experienced the healing power of his grace. You see, God had freely given his grace to the people, and their lives were changed. Grace had entered into their hearts, and they were new people. And this grace stirred within them this passion and this desire for all to know this grace, for all to experience. So they gave. This grace had produced in them such a joy in their lives that it was overflowing. And as their joy came in connection, it said, with their poverty, they found themselves giving. You see, they didn't have the scarcity mindset that so often we find ourselves to fall into. All they saw was an abundance of God's grace, enough for them and for the world. So they allowed God's grace to work in them, to realize all that he had given, that it was not poverty that they lived in the midst of, but it was in the riches of God's blessings, and that they had all they needed and so much more. Even though it appeared to be little, it was enough. It was more than enough. It was enough to give generously beyond, it said, their own ability. For that is how God works. He works beyond our ability. He takes what we give him and he multiplies it and he uses it for his grace to keep moving and working in the world to heal the world. God worked like that when he gave to a boy, and he gave through a boy and his 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Jesus was able to feed more than 5,000 people and had what? 12 baskets left over. God's grace was able and it was powerful. It was God's grace that stirred that widow to give her 2 coins, to give everything that she had. It was God's grace that encountered Zacchaeus in Jericho, allowing him to leave behind his old sinful ways of life. And in that moment, he gave half of all he had to the poor. God's grace, it's the foundation of our United Methodist heritage and our theology. It is God's grace that woos us into relationship with him, inviting us into that relationship. It's God's grace that lets us know that we are loved, loved so much that he sent his one and his only son so that we can have life abundant and life eternal, forgiven. It is God's grace that continues to travel and journey with us through life, the ups and the downs, continuing to draw us to him, to have this deeper relationship with him so that we can love God and love our neighbor in everything that we do. You see, grace, we need to have this understanding that grace is powerful. It is the power of God working in us and through us. The power to heal. I was reading from Bishop Bruce Blake, who has this theology and this way of living now of giving until it heals. And he learned this theology and this new way of life for him in a time of mourning and loss, as he lost a good friend and colleague of his, Reverend Tom Ruffface, who was a Native American leader in the United Methodist Church. He went to the funeral and experienced something new and different that his tribe practiced. In the midst of grief and sorrow, when their friends and visitors came to be with them, they had this practice of giving. They believed that a person can accept death better by giving than by getting. So they gave in memory of the loved one, redistributing his wealth or her wealth out into the community through food or household items and goods that they may have that another could use. They found that there was healing as they gave. And they practiced the same activity a year later in the end of mourning ceremony, they called it. And it was there that Bishop Blake was given a pair of moccasins. And as he received the moccasins, they told him it was to help him on his journey. Through their giving in the midst of their pain, they opened themselves up to receive the power of God's grace, the power of healing. And through their giving, they then opened others up also to experience that same healing grace. Paul shared about the Macedonian churches that allowed God's grace to stir them in giving out of their poverty, originally sharing that with the Corinthians so that they may also have the opportunity to experience God's grace in this way. It's a grace that was experienced by a leper in our scripture passage 2 weeks ago, a leper that was healed and came back to say thank you. It was grace that experienced by the little boy and the widow and by Zacchaeus. It's a grace that was experienced by Reverend Ruffface's family and their giving in the midst of their loss. Grace. What is the place of grace in our lives today? Have you accepted God's grace in your own life and allowed it to bring healing, allowed it to heal you from the inside out? Have you accepted God's grace to such an extreme that you see and experience God's abundance in all that He has to give to you and to the world? And therefore, do you freely give God's grace? Because there is enough, there is more than enough. You see, Paul called this act of giving in this passage in 2 Corinthians, he called the act of giving an act of grace. Do you freely give out of what you have, out of what you've been given, so that the world might know this grace, so that the world might be healed? The end of the day came yesterday, as it comes every day, and I laid down and was nodding off, and it was there that I began having this vision of what was going to take place today. This vision of worship, but this vision of our time of our end of worship as people would be bringing their pledges and their commitments, their hopes of what they would be sharing in the ministries of this church next year. And I'm not one that I would say I have a whole lot of visions, but I was having this vision as I was trying to nod off. I was trying to rest and sleep, but I couldn't get today out of my mind. With the vision of God's people pouring down the aisle of God's house to share their gifts, to share God's grace with others. But the real gift in the moment of seeing the vision was the feeling of God's affirmation that He is going to, through our giving, He is going to heal us and He's going to heal the world, for that is God's desire, to bring healing to the world, restoration and salvation and forgiveness, healing physically and mentally and spiritually. And in that moment, I asked myself, are you just crazy enough to believe it? To believe this promise that God has given us, that in our act of giving is an act of grace. In our giving will come healing. And I believe it. I believe that as we come together today in making our commitments, as we come together in our giving, God's healing, it is going to continue to happen in a way that God's will be done on this world and on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, oh what a blessing it is to gather in your house today, to gather together, to be your people, your body of Christ, to sing your praises, to lift up our prayers, to hear your word. It's a blessing to give, Lord. And so we thank you for this opportunity to give until it heals. For that is who we want to be. People of your healing. People that are healed. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
And so this is your opportunity to respond to the word of God, that we might be found like that Macedonian church. There is been mailed to you or in your bulletin the commitment card. Some of you perhaps not given before, or you may not be a member of the church, but we invite you to make that commitment as well, because together we're able to lift this load that is the ministry of our church in 2018. As we move forward, we will keep you posted and set the budget and then make that commitment to those that we support in ministry. That's a very important commitment. It allows us to move forward into the year with confidence. So we invite you now to come, as the Pastor Melissa and I will be down here to receive your commitment cards. We invite you to come by the center aisle and then to return by the side aisles after you've given. This is the time for us to respond. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your congregation. We believe that we can change the world through your strength. With the gifts of your love and grace, things that would be absolutely impossible if we were to rely upon our own abilities. But we're grateful that you are the hope of the world, the Lord of the universe, the one who receives, heals, and forgives, and then calls and sets forth your people. Help us to respond faithfully, to treat each gift as a precious entrustment, as a gift that has been given for your kingdom. We pray that your kingdom will flourish, that we would be faithful disciples, not just today, but every day, and that we would give not just our commitments, but we would give our very lives, our hearts, our minds, our hands, our voices. In all that we do, we may be witnesses to the love of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
I trust that as we have come together to worship today, as we have lifted our praise together, as we have prayed together, as we have heard God's word together, I trust that we have experienced God's grace together, experienced his abundant grace and love for us and for the world. So take that grace that's been planted in your heart and maybe even just consumed your entire body. Take that grace and share it with the world. Go from here in God's love, his grace. Go in peace. Amen.